The Witches by Roald Dahl. Chapter 2. My Grandmother. I myself had two separate encounters with witches before I was 8 years old. From the first one, I escaped unharmed, but on the second occasion, I was not so lucky. Things happened to me that will probably make you scream when you read about them. That can't be helped. The truth must be told. The fact that I am still here and able to speak to you, however peculiar I may look, is due entirely to my wonderful grandmother. My grandmother is Norwegian. The Norwegians know all about witches, for Norway, with its black forests and icy mountains, is where the first witches came from. My father and mother were also Norwegian, but because my father had a business in England, I had been born there and had lived there and started going to school there. Twice a year, at Christmas and in the summer, we went back to Norway to visit my grandmother. This old lady, as far as I could gather, was just about the only surviving relative we had on either side of our family. She was my mother's mother, and I absolutely adored her. When she and I were together, we spoke in either Norwegian or English. It didn't matter which. We were equally fluent in both languages, and I have to admit I felt closer to her than to my mother. Soon after my 7th birthday, my parents took me to the usual Christmas trip to my grandmother's in Norway. It was over there when my father and mother and I were driving in icy weather just north of Oslo that our car skidded off the road and went tumbling down into a rocky ravine. My parents were killed. I was firmly strapped into the back seat and received only a cut on my forehead. I won't go into the horrors of that terrible afternoon. I still get the shivers when I think about it. I finished up, of course, back at my grandmother's house, with her arms around me tight, and both of us crying the whole night long. "What are we going to do now?" I asked her, through the tears in my eyes. "You will stay here with me," she said, "and I will look after you."
"Aren't I going back to England?"
"No, I could never do that. Heaven shall take my soul, but Norway shall keep my bones." The very next day, in order that we might both try to forget our great sadness, my grandmother started telling me stories. She was a wonderful storyteller, and I was enthralled by everything she told me. But I didn't become really excited until she got onto the subject of witches. She was apparently a great expert on these creatures, and she made it very clear to me that her witch stories, unlike most of the others, were not imaginary tales. They were true. They were the gospel truth. They were history. Everything she was telling me about witches had actually happened, and I'd better believe it. What was worse, what was far, far worse, was that witches were still with us. They were all around us, and I'd better believe that, too.
"Are you really being truthful, Grandmama? Really and truly truthful?"
"My darling," she said, "you won't last long in this world if you don't know how to spot a witch when you see one."
"But you told me that witches look like ordinary women, Grandmama, so how can I spot them?"
"You must listen to me," my grandmother said. "You must remember everything I tell you. After that, all you can do is cross your heart and pray to heaven and hope for the best." We were in the big living room in her house in Oslo, and I was going ready for bed. The curtains were never drawn in that house, and through the windows I could see huge snowflakes falling slowly into an outside world that was black as tar. My grandmother was tremendously old and wrinkled, with a massive wide body which was smothered in gray lace. She sat there majestic in her armchair, filling every inch of it. Not even a mouse could have squeezed in to sit beside her. I myself, just 7 years old, was crouched on the floor at her feet, wearing pajamas, a bathrobe, and slippers.
"You swear you aren't pulling my leg," I kept saying to her. "You swear you aren't just pretending."
"Listen," she said. "I have known no less than 5 children who have simply vanished off the face of the earth, never to be seen again. The witches took them."
"I still think you're just trying to frighten me," I said.
"I am trying to make sure you don't go the same way," she said. "I love you, and I want you to stay with me."
"Tell me about the children who disappeared," I said.
My grandmother was the only grandmother I ever met who smoked cigars. She lit one now, a long black cigar that smelled of burning rubber.
The first child I knew who disappeared was called Ringhald Hansen. Ringhild was about 8 at the time. She was playing with her little sister on the lawn. Their mother, who was baking bread in the kitchen, came outside for a breath of air. "Where's Ringhild?" she asked. "She went away with the tall lady," said the little sister. "What tall lady?" said the mother. "The tall lady in white gloves," said the little sister. "She took Ringhild by the hand and took her away." No one, my grandmother said, ever saw Ringhild again. "Didn't they search for her?" I asked. "They searched for miles around. Everyone in the town helped, but they never found her." "What happened to the other 4 children?" I asked. "They vanished just like Ringhild." "How, Grandmama? How did they vanish?" "In every case, a strange lady was seen outside the house just before it happened." "But how did they vanish?" I asked. "The second one was very peculiar," said my grandmother. "There was a family called Christiansen. They lived on the Holken, and they had an old oil painting in the living room, which they are very proud of. The painting showed some ducks in the yard outside of a farmhouse. There were no people in the painting, just a flock of ducks on a grassy farmyard and a farmhouse on the backyard. It was a large painting and rather pretty. Well, one day their daughter Solveig came home from school eating an apple. She said a nice lady had given it to her. The next morning, little Solveig was not in her bed. The parents searched everywhere, but they could not find her. Then all of a sudden, her father shouted, "There she is! There, Solveig, feeding the ducks!" He was pointing to the oil painting. And sure enough, Solveig was in it. She was standing in the farmyard in the act of throwing bread to the ducks in the basket. The father rushed up to the painting and touched her, but that didn't help. She was simply part of the painting, just a picture painted on the canvas. "Did you ever see the painting, Grandma, with the little girl in it?" "Many times." "And the peculiar thing was that little Solveig kept changing her position in the picture. One day she would actually be inside the farmhouse and you would see her face peeking out the window. Another day she would be far off to the left with duck in her arms." "Did you see her moving in the picture, Grandmama?" "Nobody did. Wherever she was, whatever outside feeding the ducks or inside looking out the window, she was always motionless, just a figure painted in oils." "It was all very odd," said my grandmother. "Very odd indeed. And what was the most odd of all was that as the years went by, she kept growing older in the picture. In 10 years, a small girl had become a young woman. In 30 years, she was middle-aged. And then all at once, 54 years later, after it all happened, she disappeared from the picture altogether." "You mean she died?" I said. "Who knows? Some very mysterious things go on in the world of witches." "Well, that's 2 you've told me about," I said. "What happened to the 3rd one?" "The 3rd one was little Brithag Svensson. She lived just across the road from us. One day she started growing feathers all over her body. Within a month, she had turned into a large white chicken. Her parents kept her for years in a pen in the garden. She even laid eggs." "What color eggs?" I asked. "Brown ones. Biggest eggs I've ever seen in my life. Her mother made omelets out of them. Delicious they were." I gazed up at my grandmother, who sat there like some ancient queen on her throne. Her eyes were misty gray, and they seemed to be looking at something many miles away. The scar was the only real thing about her in that moment, and the smoke it made billowing around her head in blue clouds. "But the little girl who became a chicken didn't disappear," I said. "No, not Birgit. She lived for many years lying in her brown eggs." "You said all of them disappeared." "I made a mistake. I am getting old. I can't remember everything." "What happened to the 4th child?" I asked. "The 4th child, called Harald. One morning his skin went all grayish-yellow, and then it became hard and crackling like the shell of a nut. By evening the boy had turned to stone." "Stone?" I said. "You mean real stone?" "Granite. I will take you to see him if you like. They still keep him in the house. He stands in the hall, a little stone statue. Visitors lean their umbrellas up against him." Although I was very young, I was not prepared to believe everything my grandmother told me, and yet she spoke with such conviction, with such utter seriousness, and with never a smile on her face or a twinkle in her eye, that I found myself beginning to wonder. "Go on, Grandmama," I said. "You told me there were 5 altogether. What happened to the last one?"
"Would you like a puff of my cigar?" she said.
"I'm only 7, Grandmama."
"I don't care what age you are. You'll never catch cold if you smack cigars."
"What about another 5, Grandmama?"
"Number 5, she said, chewing the end of her cigar as though it were a delicious asparagus, "was rather an interesting case. A 9-year-old boy called Leif was summer holidaying with his family on the fjord, and the whole family was picnicking and swimming off the rocks on one of those little islands. Young Leif dove into the water, and his father, who was watching him, noticed that he stayed under for an unusually long time. When he came to the surface at last, he wasn't Leif anymore.
What was he, Grandmama?"
"He was a porpoise."
"He wasn't. He couldn't have been.
He was a lovely young porpoise, and as friendly as could be."
"Grandmama," I said.
"Yes, my darling."
"Do you really and truly did he turn into a porpoise?"
"Absolutely. I knew his mother well. She told me all about it. She told me how Leif the porpoise stayed with them all afternoon, giving his brothers and sisters rides on his back. They had a wonderful time. And then he waved a flipper at them and swam away, never to be seen again."
"But Grandmama," I said, "how did they know that the porpoise was actually Leif?"
"He talked to them," said my grandmother. "He laughed and joked with them all the time he was giving them rides."
"But wasn't there a most tremendous fuss when this happened?" I asked.
"Not much. You must remember, here in Norway, we are used to that sort of thing. There are witches everywhere. There is probably one living in our street this very moment. It is time you went to bed."
"A witch couldn't come in through the window in the night, would she?" I asked, quaking a little.
"No," my grandmother said. "A witch will never do silly things like climbing down drain pipes or breaking into people's houses. You are quite safe in your bed. Come along, I will tuck you in."